God's grace, his mercy, and his peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. If we didn't know better, we would think we had entered some kind of a time warp, gone from the last Sunday of the church year, zipped right through the first part of the church year, missed Bethlehem, missed the wise men, missed Jesus' ministry in Galilee, his teachings, his encounter with Nicodemus and the woman at the well, all the miracles, and jumped right into the last week of Jesus' life. Palm Sunday? We watched as Jesus rode past on his way to die in the gospel reading. No, there's no mistake here. Today's gospel has very intentionally been chosen so that on the first Sunday of Advent, as we begin a new church year, our attention is directed to the result of all of the drama that we will be seeing unfold over the next 4 months or so. And that's the way it should be. The crib and the cross go together. Or as somebody has put it, there is always or should always be the shadow of a cross falling over our Lord's bed as an infant. They go together. As the song says, you can't have one without the other. Now, this is not some far-out notion that I just thought up. Listen to the words of the angels outside of Bethlehem on that first Christmas morning. I bring you good news. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior, one who saves. And I've asked, and if I ask the question, how does he do that? Probably most, even of the smaller children in our midst today, would be able to say he went to a cross for us. Yes, this little bundle of joy that we celebrate in a few weeks is born to save. To lay down his life for the sins of the world, our sins, our shortcomings, our rebellions, and those of our neighbors and our co-workers and our family members. At the same time, we have to remind ourselves that there is no salvation apart from God in the flesh. That the incarnation, that is the coming of God into flesh, into the human body, is essential to the understanding of how God made the world his own, how he saved anyone who is willing to accept it. It wasn't by some divine principle that God saved the world. It was an abstract love that was put to death for our offenses and raised again for our justification. No. It was a real life, flesh and blood, man like you and me, a person. He took on a human body, was born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as children of God. So today, with the help of today's gospel reading, we rehearse the what's it all for of the story that we know so well, and yet are always longing to hear again. There are several things that are true about that gospel reading today. First, Jesus knew where he was going. The opening verse of the gospel reading tells us, he went ahead going up to Jerusalem. When we read that text, or when we hear that text read, it should send a little shiver down our spine as though it were being underscored by some very mysterious and scary music in a movie film. Because when this text says he went up to Jerusalem, we know what's going to happen in Jerusalem. And so as Luke tells the story, the verse of the chapters leading up to today's gospel reading talk about Jesus setting his will to go to Jerusalem. He set his goal to go to Jerusalem. Three times Jesus had told his disciples what was going to happen, even though they seemed to be unable to grasp them at the time. He arranged a dramatic entrance into Jerusalem. You heard how he did it in today's gospel. He said to a couple of disciples, here's how you're to set this up. Go, get this animal. This is where you'll find it. This is what you're to say if someone says to you, why are you untying that animal? The Lord needs it. In humility, he fit the dramatic, prophetic model of the promised Messiah king, riding a previously unridden donkey, an animal. The people greeted him as a king as he came in the name of the Lord. So Jesus knew where he was going. He also knew what he was doing. He knew why he had come to earth. He knew why he was going to Jerusalem. He knew what he was doing. The disciples had trouble grasping it, as we probably would have too. Think about it. Here you are with this man you've committed your life to, and then he starts talking these strange things about going up to Jerusalem, being rejected by those in authority, being suffering and dying, and by then you miss the last part that says, rise from the dead. They were unable to wrap their brains around this fact that in less than a week he would be arrested, mocked, killed, and rise from the dead. But Jesus knew what he must do. He must carry out the Father's will. He must carry in his person the sins of the world. He must suffer and die and be raised. That's why he became a human being, was for this purpose. He knew he was the ultimate sacrifice for sin. As he told the disciples a week later, on that first Easter evening in the upper room, it is necessary, he said, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. That's in chapter 24 of Luke, if you want to check it out. And in his death, what did he do? When he died, he loosed the whole world from the bondage of sin. That was his purpose. That's what he came for. St. Paul reminds the church in Corinth, for our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I look at my life, you look at your life, and you probably don't see the righteousness of God. You see yourself getting angry sometimes and saying things you 5 seconds later wish you hadn't said. You think thoughts that you just wish would stay out of your head because you know they are not of the Lord. But when God looks at us in Christ, he sees Christ's righteousness. What a glorious, amazing, astonishing truth. Jesus' purpose: to die our death so that we may have his peace, so that we may have his righteousness. As crazy as that may sound at times, it is God's truth. Thirdly, Jesus knew that he was bound for glory. Now, the way our human eyes see it, being executed on a cross, totally naked, does not seem like a very glorious moment. But Jesus understood that the path to glory leads through a cross. Unlike the disciples seem to assume. And it's sometimes true for believers as well, that the path to glory leads through a time of cross-bearing. Through him, the words of the crowd, which in turn reflect the words of the angels at Bethlehem. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now the angels had said, peace on earth and glory to God in the highest. And yet there is a parallelism between the two sets of lines. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. What Jesus does is connect the peace in heaven with the peace on earth to give promise of life everlasting to all who believe it. Fourthly, Jesus comes to us, as we said with the children. Jesus comes in a variety of ways. And in faith, we perceive that he comes. That's what the word Advent means, as you well know. The coming. He comes to us. He came to us. He will come to us. And all of that is one. He comes to us. He gives us his peace. Shalom, he said to his disciples. You know that that word is usually translated peace, but it's a bigger concept than that. He comes to us in his word. He comes to us as we hear the reading of the scriptures that he has inspired. He comes to us in water and promise. He comes to us in bread and wine. He in peace joins together heaven and earth. He brings the peace of heaven to earth. And he brings believers into the peace of heaven for us, making us acceptable to the Father. And so we, like that Palm Sunday crowd, acclaim Jesus who comes in the name of the Lord. And as we welcome him, we enthrone him on our hearts. Yes, there will be so many times when we won't even go into that throne room in the next day, in the next week, in the next month. But he is there. We bless his holy name. We depart in peace to serve him, to serve our neighbor. Because of him, we too are bound for glory with the King, Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.